Thanks, Don. And Scott, and Joan, and Chris, thank you. After the reading, I'm going to be sending you all out into the neighborhood to do canvassing door-to-door. I'll give you a quick training period before, because we've got a big election coming up, and I just want you to be ready. All right? I'm going to read six poems. They all are from a manuscript that's going to be published, be released next May. And the first poem is called The Skateboarder, and it's based on something I saw recently at Oxford Center. I was walking by, and there was this incredibly athletic young man doing all kinds of things on a skateboard right next to the sign that said, no skating. I loved it. So, The Skateboarder. We feel a roar of vibration in the sidewalk as we pass beneath the glass towers downtown, the fierce immediacy of the boy flipping the skateboard into, out of slides and grinds, riding a steel handrail while pushing the limits of resistance as he flies what I remember as a useless Christmas toy and lands like a miracle on the sidewalk without colliding with startled pedestrians, observing the usual rules of time and space. The boy inventing art from conversation between body and air, bending the city to his delinquent will, an aesthetic of big pants, small wheels, a lexicon of tricks and obstacles, not sport, but defiance, not lifestyle, but thrust and risk. A kick, an aversion to common sense, the danger practiced, refined, remembered, until perfection is permanent, the body retaining music, the way wings remember flight and lament the return to earth, where summer has begun, balmy, undefined, felicitous, a suffering of desire, an impatience with the assortment of lies he's left behind as he practices a brave balance, his reflection fleeting in the black glass of the window. He skates past the no skating sign, an immaculate precision in his rebellion, no more personal than a summer storm I hide from beneath the canopy of my routine. I am what the skateboarder defies, his middle finger raised in salute as he rolls by, does a quick ollie, kick flip, heel flip, popping the nose of the board in a backwards ginger snap between his legs, sliding down the rail again, arms held ready for balance, falling a certainty for the rest of us, not for him. What survives the plunge looks like anger, but it's art pushing his body into dark speed, precarious rapture. Ava and I have been doing a lot of gardening lately, so you'll see a lot of gardening images here. You probably know that dandelions are a weed, of course, but they grow in ruined places like the cracks of sidewalks and construction lots and bomb sites and things like that. And they send their roots down deep, pick up nutrients and bring them to the surface and replenish the earth. But they can't compete with grasses who crowd them out, and so the dandelions send their seeds out into the air to go someplace else and do the same thing again. So never kill dandelions. Let them do their thing. The grasses will kill them soon enough. Dandelion. In the cracks of asphalt, in the broken ground, in the abandoned field of the demolished house, among the tumble of brick and block and rebar rising out of rubble, out of bomb crater and bulldozed gravel, out of disaster and mayhem, out of ugly order and disorder, out of beautiful neglect, wilding occurs. So, on thin white wings, the seed settles unnoticed, bringing life to ruined places. Here's something I wrote. Here's something I wrote just a few days ago. It's called August Song. I have no idea if this is good, but I just like it, so I'm going to read it. August Song. I can't help but fall in love with the blissful light of lemonade at noon and gazpacho in the evening with a slice of lime hanging by its wound. I trust with all my heart the hot walk of the girls in flip-flops headed to the blue eye of the pool. I believe in sweat, the way it hangs from my chin, falls to the scalding sidewalk, merges with the breath of men. A cloud rising above the shimmering city flies over the mountains and falls in the sea, rising and falling and rising again. I think that one might be better set to music, don't you? Sounds like a song lyric. Some of you know that I'm on the spectrum, and I had a lot of trouble when I was young. I didn't know how to speak. I couldn't speak until I was 5 years old. And as my wife says, I haven't stopped since. So, this is a poem about how it felt during those years of just experiencing sound without being able to speak. The world is sound. I didn't speak until I was five because everything was sound. My mother's high heel was a slide her foot sang into. The rectangle of the coffee table was a clinking glass and a book that played the violin. I couldn't speak because I was the scream turned inside out, a tree branch moving through the blue song of yesterday. The first time I heard a tango, I knew it was a purple rising through the folds of want. I grew up on the outskirts of Houston, Texas, and my father, among other things, was a gardener. And we had beautiful trees on the property, a lot of rain there, and rich soil. And one of the trees we had was a persimmon, and this was the black persimmon, which is different than persimmon that's found elsewhere. It produces a small black fruit, and it was planted when the sapling was planted when I was 3 years old, so I sort of grew up with that tree. Persimmon. Persimmon. Nothing changed the first year, although I felt the white net of mycelia spreading around roots and leaves, learning to move through sunlight and shadow the way I was learning to move easily through the seasons because I couldn't speak. Each October, the leaves fell, joining the layer of humus. The wet leaves froze in the fall, decayed in the spring, fed the new leaves in March, and all summer crickets sang, and also robins, and in high pines a crow called. In the third year I saw a spoonbill fly overhead, forming words out of air, but no one listened. The sapling spread until it filled a corner of the yard, and we had to move the tomato patch to the sunlight, and later the garlic and parsley. I was supposed to be baptized, but refused, believing only the light and dark of the garden. Each year, Diospyros filled out, growing lush and tall. In the sixth year, flowers appeared, then green fruit, which yellowed. We spat the astringent flesh and placed the basket of fruit in the cellar to ripen. After a week, the persimmons, hard, crisp, and sour as crab apples, darkened, sweet as peaches, dusky as plums, and we ate them greedily, all but one I left on the windowsill, an experiment in sunlight. The last persimmon was soft, a small black sack. I bit open, and my mute tongue welcomed dark honey. The last poem I'll read is called Sweet Hatred. As I mentioned, Ava and I are doing a lot of gardening, and weeds are just incredible. I mean, they just take over your life. Anybody who does gardening, that's what you spend most of your time is fighting weeds. There's a blackberry bramble growing at the edge of our garden that's been growing for years, and I've been fighting it for years. So this is a poem about fighting that blackberry bramble. Sweet Hatred. Out of spilled coffee grounds and banana slime, beside the compost bin, a gangly vine grew, twisting out of shadow into slats of light between the boards of the deck above. I hated the way tough thorns of rubus drew blood whenever I passed, the way a suckering root held clay and stone in a thousand fingers, never letting go, choking the softer roots of elderberry and cherry, stealing water from roses and sweet shrub and milkweed that fed the monarch. This bramble, this briar patch of demon weed was killing my garden, so I investigated poisons. Triclopyr kills dicots, leaving grasses alone, but would kill the roses and azaleas and maybe me. But still, I was crazed with hatred for this weed. I sized, mowed, axed, hoed, trimmed, yanked, and eyed with vicious intent this intruder eating my garden, but the satanic bramble would not die. Then, in the spring of the fourth year of my war, the arching canes ventured small white blossoms whose yellow stamens attracted bees, and in midsummer, green berries turned red, then black, and a tanager perching on the compost bin feasted on the dark droops. The berries tasted sweet, the hard seeds insistent on my tongue. I resisted pleasure, then succumbed. Thank you.